What's up, y'all? I'm Amanda Seales, and listen, I get it. We're in some serious times, so I think some of y'all forgot I'm a comic.
She had them jokes.
I mean, you forgot I had a whole HBO comedy special. You forgot I showed love to how black women give compliments.
Okay, polka dots.
And threw shade to how white women move in corporate America.
Stop CCing all these unnecessary people on these goddamn emails.
I get it. We've been cooped up for a long time. That's why the Amanda Seales Black Outside Again comedy tour is coming to a city near you. Go to AmandaSeales.com today and get your tickets so we can laugh and learn our way through this madness together.
How black am I gonna have to get?
Go. Say it. Say it.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Mean it. Say it again.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
No, not sexy, but real.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Nailed it.
My body's taking me to church today.
You get into it?
Yeah, just I did a show where I did some improv last night.
Oh, okay.
It was a fun show. I didn't know about it. It was one of Rachel's friends, but I guess it's a pretty popular podcast called Mega. And it's about a fictional mega church.
Ooh.
And they just interview, like, you go on as a character. So I went on as like a pizza delivery guy that works for the church, because it's like it's like a 10,000 member church with 600 employees. But it was fun to go up and kind of play around, you know.
That is fun. A lot of yes anding, a lot of tagging in, tagging out.
I was not good. My improv etiquette was not good.
Mm-hmm.
I was going for the joke more than growing the scene, but it was also, I was just being interviewed as a person. So it wasn't like we had to find an end to it.
Mm-hmm.
But they know what they're doing too, the hosts. And so they kind of knew how to steer things and ask questions, but it was fun. So I did that. I was having myself some cider drinks, some cider pops.
Mm-hmm.
And then went over, old Beth Stelling was in town at Helium.
Okay.
Fucking great show. Oh, man.
Yeah, I like Beth.
Oh, old Beth Stelling. Just
sweet Beth.
Yeah, it was just an easy, like, she's not, like, she doesn't go big on stage. She's just talking. She's not loud. And it's just so many jokes within jokes and, like, just perfect lines within a joke already, like a story.
Mm-hmm.
She's good at what she does. You should go see her. I say that. I'll tell you that. But got into some more cups over there and just, oof.
Years ago, a bunch of us were hanging out at U Rustic, and Beth had a few drinks, and she leans over to me and she goes, "Don't take this the wrong way, but you don't seem like a fella who lives in a van." I was like, thanks, Beth. I don't take that the wrong way. Oh, man.
She was great, man. It was a good, and again, like, just being able to go to Helium and see people do a full hour.
Mm-hmm.
And how it just seemed effortless. It was just such an effortless, no fat on it, mm-hmm. no pauses, no disjointed, or like the stuff that you think when you're doing an hour of, like, oh, this story doesn't really go with this other story.
Mm-hmm.
And how that's not as obvious to the audience as you might think. Like, yeah. I'm learning a lot by watching people do hours. 'Cause I don't sit at home and watch specials.
Mm-hmm.
But to sit and watch somebody just in the room, just do the show.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool, man. It was cool stuff.
That's awesome, man. I'm glad you had a good time.
Yeah. And then we got up today. It was one of those, like, I was feeling it. I'm like, we just got to go eat somewhere. We tried to go to a Nordic, Scandinavian. I don't know. It was called, like, Borden Smorden or something. A's with the little circles on the top of them.
Uh-huh.
But we got out there. It was a huge wave. I didn't know what I was going to get. Yeah, I didn't know what kind of cod filled crepe or something. But I'll be honest. Like, I said yes to it just because I was hungover. I needed to eat something. But then Rachel's going over the menu in the car, and I was like, I don't want a fish plate. I'm pretty hungover. I don't want a fish plate. And that was too it was too busy. So we went to the old Din Tai Fung.
There you go. Okay.
Good. Love a Din Tai Fung.
What'd you get there?
I got all kinds of little buddies.
Uh-huh.
I got little dumplings. I got spicy noodles, cucumber salad. The woodier mushroom thing in vinegar was a bit rough for a hangover. Just cold, slippery mushroom ears. That was a bit much. But I got through. It was good. Had a little beer to dust my shoulders off with.
There you go.
But yeah, we're getting back to it. How are you, buddy?
Oh, I'm good, man. I'm just fucking great. Things are good.
Yeah.
So that sounded sarcastic. I'm just fucking great. No, but I am great.
No, I think you are. You're a sincere and appreciative man, Dave.
Things are good. Just got back from Vegas. Took Katie to Vegas for her birthday. Had an absolute blast. Dude, I've just eaten like a fucking king. Like a literal king.
I saw those pictures.
Yeah. I mean, well, going back to the week before, my birthday, went to Park's Barbecue, had the best Korean barbecue around, just threw down, just absolutely insane.
Some people on the Reddit have been visiting these spots based on your recommendation.
Really? Okay, right on. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine anybody being less than amazed at Park's Barbecue. Just, the beef short rib had the marinated beef short rib, and they kind of they score it like in a diamond pattern. So when they lay it all out on the grill, it got all the, it was just so good. But yeah, threw down at Park's for my birthday. Then a few days later, went to Vegas with Katie. Had Nobu, somebody voted the best sushi in the country. One of the best meals of my life. One of the top five.
Really?
Top five meals of my life. Just absolutely insane. We were talking about not long ago how I love sushi, but I've never had, like, good sushi. All my sushi either comes from shitty buffets or mediocre takeout spots.
You got to go to that Sugarfish, man.
I know. I've been meaning to go there, but
that's right there. There's a bunch of them right there. It's top notch.
Boy, this was incredible. And I forget, like, as much as I like to eat, I don't do a lot of like fine dining, and I don't know if this would qualify as fine dining. I mean, it may, but just the level of service when you go to a place like that. I always forget how attentive some of these really good restaurants can be. They have just a team. You don't have just the server. You have the person that takes your order, but then I bet you 12 different people brought stuff to our table. Just every time it was a new person, and then you got the guy who comes around with the little crumb brush, and he'll sweep the crumbs off your tablecloth, and people just replacing plates and silverware, and just the service was amazing, the food was amazing, all kinds of stuff. I had salmon belly, I had all kinds of sushi, a lot of sashimi with the yellowtail, the red snapper, toro. Just all kinds of shit. I probably had a dozen different courses. I was like, this is all the stuff I want. You bring them out in the order you see fit.
And, yeah.
Man, just an incredible experience. So we did that on her birthday. And then the very next day, went to Bacchanalia, one of the best buffets in the country. Absolutely threw down there. Went nuts with the seafood. A lot of crab
claws. Take him to town. You make did the house lose?
Probably
in Vegas.
Yeah.
Goes to the buffet.
Put it this way: it was part of Katie's extended birthday dinner, and I stayed so long that she's like, "Look, I'm going to leave now," and she left me to go play
that was
slots.
The Pat Kinane move at the crab. All you eat crab legs.
Yeah, it's like, all right. Well, I'll catch up with you because I'm not ready to go.
I know what room we're in.
But yeah, crab legs, crab claws, smoked oysters, mussels, prime rib, all kinds of pastas. Dave. Oh, dude, it was fantastic.
What kind of redwood trunk size shit did you leave at Caesar's Palace? What kind of terrorist attack did you do?
I'm a healthy boy.
Before you left.
Yeah.
I always love Nate Craig's joke about it. He's like, if you lose in Vegas, don't try to win it back at the buffet. You will not eat nearly as much prime rib as you think you will to make up for what you left on the blackjack table.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was intense. It really was.
This is a tacky question.
Mm-hmm.
So my apologies in advance. Can I ask how much your meal at Nobu was?
You want me to tell you?
Yeah.
Tip and everything.
It's a birthday celebration meal, so nobody's judging you.
I mentioned this on the Stonebergs, and not to flex, but it was the most expensive meal I've ever purchased.
That's kind of why I was curious. I'm like, I want to know.
Two people, $400. So, yeah, with tip. So I think I tipped about 20%. So, yeah, it's about $320 or $330 plus tip.
Yeah. No, that's not. It's definitely expensive, but mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's the craziest I've ever gone. And, normally I wouldn't do anything like that, but it's my wife's birthday.
It's a special occasion.
Wow. Yeah. It's actually my wife's first birthday as my wife. So, yeah. I like how I'm just, it's for my wife. Like, yeah, all this shit was just for me to go and experience this stuff. But
listen, gifts, gifts that you both get to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
I've been waiting to get the present for Rachel's birthday finished.
Yeah. Okay.
And today I just showed her what it was. I got like a hand-painted portrait of Dirt Nap.
Oh, that's awesome.
So what? But it still isn't ready yet. So I'm like, I'll just show you. Like, I'm getting like work in progress photos.
That's a great gift.
I was like, this is for both of us, mm-hmm. But I was excited to show it to her.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, drop 400. And if I'm being completely honest, I didn't get full. Like, it was delicious and it was a great experience. But because it was everything we had was raw fish. So that, I love it, but it doesn't fill me up. And yeah. I was thinking about this. No shit. Like, okay, this is a whole nother topic, but I got some good pals, but I don't have any lunch buddies, Kyle. And even if you lived in town, I don't know if with your dietary.
You don't have no lunch buddies?
I ain't got no lunch buddies. Anybody that I could go to a buffet with and just really throw down. But I was thinking.
We gotta get Dave a lunch buddy.
If I had the right partner, like let's say, for example, me and Shane Torres, all right? I know Shane. He's kind of we have a lot in common, both with our physiques and our appetites. But somebody like that I could go with, no shit. If money were no object, I could have dropped $1,000 on two.
You don't want a lunch buddy. You want a sparring partner.
I want a sparring partner.
You want somebody in the same weight class that can keep up with you is what you want.
That's true because all my buddies aren't in my weight class. You're a vegetarian. Singers, he's delicate.
You're smacking people out of the ring left and right. You need somebody who can go nine rounds with you over at CC's Pizza Buffet.
Yeah, I thought I had a compadre in Jeff Tate, but he doesn't eat onions. So all my buddies, there's something, there's some flaw.
What are you saying? Everything at Golden Corral's got onions in it?
I'm just saying that, I can't really, as much as I like Jeff, I can't really depend on somebody to have my back if they don't eat onions. Like, go in there.
Have your back.
I need to know that I can count on my partner. But I think someone like Shane, if he and I, I would never do this because, I don't have that kind of money. But based on what it cost and how full I got, And who my partner was, with all due respect to my lovely wife, she doesn't have the capacity. She doesn't have the cargo room, the cargo space that I have. But you give me a good counterpart, I think, seriously, me and another dude could go in there and drop $1,000 at a place like that.
Sushi, like I get to a limit of how much I can handle, or stomach, as it were. Because I like sushi, but then I'm like, all right, that's a lot of raw fish inside of me.
Yeah.
Like a seal. The sugar fish, you get like I forget, it's called like a trust me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just they give you what they're going to give you.
Okay, I like that.
And it's really good. Mm-hmm. Now, on the opposite end of your delicious Nobu experience, Friday I was drinking with my neighbor and then just walked myself over to the conveyor belt sushi place at about 25 minutes before they closed.
Nice.
And just did cleanup on whatever lonesome lonesome California rolls that were like still floating around the little chef station. And I was so like, I had had some, I wasn't like wasted, but I, was, I had beers and I was starving. I was like, whatever came by, I was like, you betcha, here we go. And then a server came by, like, what would you like to order? I'm like, I'm just eating all the crap that's been twirling around all day.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know I could order something. It wasn't bad. It was like a perfectly fine thing to have that mm-hmm. I could walk to from the bar I was at. And then, like I said, today we went to the Viking Foods, but it was we couldn't get in there. And, oh, yeah. What else went on? Yeah, so that was, you had Vegas. No gambling, though, huh?
I never gamble. I've just never been a gambler. I just don't give a shit, and I never have it to lose. Katie won $700 off the slots in 10 minutes.
All right.
In 10 minutes, she won $700. She put in $100, got how many credits that gives you, and 10 minutes later walked with mm-hmm. $800. So she profited $700.
She okay, went, there's your meal.
She went, well, that's her a Gucci bag.
A fancy bag.
She took her winnings and walked right across the hallway there to the Gucci store and had a field day.
They know how to get you.
Yeah. Yeah, she's pretty frou-frou now. So she's
you guys are full West Hollywood.
Gucci gal. But yeah. I don't blame her. I, you know, that's an expenditure. She's like, look, I know it's ridiculous. I know it's too much money.
You won it.
Just found money. Just won money. So it's not like missing her rent to pay for a Gucci bag. But yeah, so good for her. I was excited about that for her. So, but yeah, just good week. Good. And she, of course, got me way too many nice gifts, too many to even go over. I'm just embarrassed how generous she is to me. But here's a power move. Took me to Park's Barbecue. Also, one of my gifts was a gift certificate to Park's Barbecue so I could go again. So that's I always like that. Okay. This is so good. I want to get an immediate gift certificate so I could come back. So that's burning a hole in my pocket. As soon as I get back from this run, probably go right back to Park's, so that'll be good. But, yeah, good times, buddy.
I like it, man.
Good time.
Yeah, I did. I ate some. We went up to a little cabin out in Hood River area or Hood River Village or mm-hmm. Mount Hood, wherever we were at. Ate mushrooms, went to hell.
Oh, you ate mushrooms?
Yeah, ate mushrooms, went to hell for about 5 hours.
Really? Bad trip.
Yeah, it was a wild one.
Okay, you want to talk me through it?
Real strong. I realize I'm a desert mushroom guy. I like the soothing, warm tones and plateaus and mesas of an open expanse. The forest was a little overstimulating for me.
The forest can be scary.
Forest was I hadn't gotten visuals like this in a long time, and everything was just going wild. And I thought I broke my brain. I thought I chemically altered my brain.
Oh, man.
To become bipolar or autistic.
Okay.
Because I couldn't. I was like having a bummer, but then I would acknowledge that it was chemicals. Like, well, yeah, it's just chemicals. You know, because there was nothing I was inherently sad about. And I went into it with a good mood.
Mm-hmm.
But I just kept going into like nihilism and futility. And I would tell myself, I'm like, it's chemicals. You did this. But it wouldn't stop. Like, my brain wouldn't stop. And I would like, but think about all these nice things. And I would acknowledge that, you know, I'm very grateful for what I have in my life and the people around me. And I would acknowledge that they're good, but couldn't feel any joy from it.
Hmm.
I couldn't feel any happiness. And I was like, oh, this must be what bipolar people deal with, where it's either like, they're super happy about things, or they just are just cold towards existence. And I got, it got scary, man.
Really?
Yeah. I kind of was like, oh, if I'm like this forever, like if I broke myself and I just feel this way, I'll have to kill myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's where I kept going. And I was like, well, you're not going to do that, but why are you thinking about that? Like, I couldn't turn off the machine in my head. And it sucked for 5 hours.
What was your immediate environment? I know you said the forest, but, like, what were you looking at? What was around
you? I kept going. Just the trees were just, like, Rachel found his Airbnb. It was, like, it's normally, like, a ski area because you're up by Mount Hood.
Mm-hmm.
But out back, a deck with just trees and a river. It was okay. Great. It was the perfect place to do it in.
Uh-huh.
But I was just, I couldn't, this is what happens when I'm trying to go to bed at night,
mm-hmm.
and I can't turn off my brain. I can't stop thinking of everything all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like that times 1,000.
Wow.
There's like a fun group of hippies walking by the house right now. Got a dude in a kilt. All right. Sorry, distracted. But anyway, so I don't know if it's like, yeah, it was it just, I couldn't get the thoughts to stop. And I was just, I was like exhausted of my own vehicle.
Hmm.
Like I was tired of my brain. I was sick of it. Not calming down. Like you ever hear like a car with a bad transmission.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just revving. Like it's stuck in a high gear.
Yeah.
That's what I felt like.
Now, I know you've done mushrooms a handful of times. Have you ever had an experience like this or is this the first?
Nothing like this.
Uh-huh.
And I'll do them again. It was like, I still feel like, all right, well, that was the lesson I had to have for that.
Yeah.
Came through it. Nothing terrible. It's not like acid, you know. I don't think I want to mess with acid too much because imagine that happening and like, oh, here's 12 hours of that.
Yeah,
I don't want to do that.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was just visually it was very intense, and I think it was so intense visually that it kind of I was just overstimulated from everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a wild time.
Well, I'm sorry it wasn't more pleasant, buddy.
Hey, what are you going to do, you know?
What can you do? The only time I've had a bad trip, it was because I was indoors in my crappy apartment.
Oh, yeah.
And I did them on a whim. I didn't, you know, it's nothing I planned out. I was just like, all right, I'm bored. I'm going to do this. And nothing like that, but just an overall heaviness of just gloom. Just, this is not great. Just nothing that intense, but yeah, just kind of a passive gloominess of like.
Yeah, sometimes they go sideways on you.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, ironically enough, so then the next night, I was listening to, you ever listen to Mysterious Universe, that podcast?
Oh, yeah, Australian dudes, yeah.
Yeah. And they had one, and I was listening to it, and they were basically talking about how they would call it like phase two,
mm-hmm.
some concept called phase two. And it's basically like that that there are other entities or energies that exist, not necessarily ghosts, not necessarily spirits of somebody that's passed on. But they say like, for example, of like a kid having an imaginary friend
mm-hmm.
could be the idea of like a phase two. Or they were like trying to coax it out of people by doing, I'm sorry I'm butchering this, but like free writing or something, like free association writing where somebody would be writing but doing another task, like having a conversation with somebody while also write, so they don't know what they're writing.
Huh.
To try and engage this phase too, to try and find this kind of other entity within themselves. And like, oh, you could take it. It can also be instigated through drug use or like mental health. And I was like, oh, man. It was kind of like what I got. Like I found this other part of me that I was not having a good time with. And it was weird because it was like this. It was not my personality. And I was sick of like myself, of like that version of myself. Like, I want to get back to old me. It was a real introspective one.
That's
not
interesting.
To bring the mood down here, but that's what happened.
So you say it wasn't your personality?
Yeah, it was just, I felt so detached. Because I've taken mushrooms and just sat by myself and really enjoyed the thought process and mm-hmm. overanalyzing things, but enjoying my own imagination and where the thoughts go and what connections I'm making in the universe. And I couldn't get any of that going. Also, I don't know what it is with mushrooms. I don't know if it's because you're poisoning yourself. You know, you like start yawning
mm-hmm.
when you take them.
Yeah.
You ever have that?
Yeah. I've yawned.
I couldn't stop. A lot. I was physically exhausted,
mm-hmm.
but my brain was racing. So that was kind of torture too. And maybe I had too much caffeine with them. But so I was so physically tired with my brain just being Times Square.
Mm.
It was wild.
Did you get nauseous?
No.
No.
No, I usually don't.
That's funny. I just made this conclusion the other day, a similar thing, when you're talking about going to bed and you can't sleep because your mind's racing. I hate that, too. Mm-hmm. I used to struggle with that quite a bit. But now my thing is it's pretty common, but I don't go to bed until I wake myself up from the couch having already passed out. Like, I never just consciously, like, okay, let's get ready and go to bed. I avoid sleep as long as I possibly can for that exact reason. So that when I do stagger back to the bed and collapse into it, I'm already ready to rock. I'm ready for sleep. I don't have to sit there for 5 or 10 or 15 minutes and have that decompression that You probably should.
I would
do it
try
that.
But I would try it. But the thing is, like, if I'm watching TV or doing anything else, my brain's off. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's okay to sleep. As soon as I lay in the bed with the purpose of sleeping without any other stimulus, that's when my brain's like, we should think about everything.
Yeah.
And I bought like sleep specific weed gummies
mm-hmm.
that are just, it's like just, nope. I mean, it's not for getting high. It's for like, it's at night. This will put you down.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying melatonin, but it was making me groggy. I was trying to go to bed before midnight every night just because now I'm in Oregon, and especially in the winter, like there's such limited daylight
mm-hmm.
that I'm like, oh, I got to start getting up. I need a better sleep regimen. Like, I got to start getting out of bed by 8 o'clock or something.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was just still grateful for it. It was still a thing that had to happen, you know? Gave me, a little more respect for him. I was eating him so nonchalantly in the past.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, all right, I have a little more respect going into those things. Visuals were great. Visuals were outstanding.
I don't think
I ever had visuals that strong. Yeah.
Any specific colors? Do you remember any colors?
No, I mean, it was just green, but like every tree, like all the trees were just pistons going up and down, and moss-covered trees were just constant state of melting. Like it was, that part was fun,
mm-hmm.
but I just wasn't, I couldn't stay on the horse.
Yeah.
for that one.
But
other than that, it was still like, I finally, like, I took a shower, drank a beer. I'm like, you're getting out of this, buddy.
Yeah. I still haven't tried, microdosing. I wouldn't mind experiment with that. To me, it seems so bizarre that something as powerful as mushrooms and psychedelics that you just, I can't imagine what it would be like to just be on just a touch, just a sprinkling, just a dusting.
Yeah. My sister was telling me about it. She'll do that sometimes. She's like, it's just like a nice little body buzz and you're mm-hmm. kind of giggly, but nothing's going
nothing
visually crazy.
Yeah.
But so we wound down. We wound down and watched Paddington 2 after that.
I heard that's great, by the way.
That's what everybody else was saying.
I've heard so many people say that movie is fantastic.
It was like, I guess, in a Nicolas Cage movie, Nicolas Cage was telling people at Paddington 2, like in a movie.
Oh, that's where I heard it. Right. It's that newest, or I don't know if it's the newest, but
where he's
recent.
Playing himself or something.
Yes, I saw that one. And the immense weight of unimaginable talent, something like that.
Yeah. That's how it started. I'm like, all right, well, let's watch Paddington 2. I'll be honest. You really got to see Paddington 1. I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Mm-hmm. I never gave a shit about Paddington.
Neither did I.
When I was a kid, it was always pushing that shit on me. I was like, no thanks. Is it a British thing?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is. No offense to the British.
Yeah.
The entertainment, the comedy never struck me.
No, it's just he just fucks everything up and they keep giving him jobs. Like, stop giving him jobs. He's gonna screw it up. He's a dipshit.
Do you remember there's an old SNL sketch, like early 90s, where I can't remember the details, but it was somebody doing like a mafia type accent or character, but it was talking about Paddington Bear. It's a Paddington Bear. I don't know, that's all I remember. But they made a big deal about a Paddington Bear. But it was some mafia context.
I mean, it was okay to calm down from a rough day of hallucinogens.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was just having questions. I'm like, how did they accept the bear into society? There's no other animals. But then there's this bear just doing a shitty job all over town.
Uh-huh.
And then he goes to fucking jail. Like, they arrest a bear. Like, the logical conclusion that a bear in society would turn to crime. But then they just, he's a child and a bear, I think. But then they throw him in adult human prison. A lot of holes in that story.
And why is he wearing a hat all the time?
I was just like, I got to go to bed. I got to sleep.
I never understood the hat. Like, I want to see his bear head.
That was least of my worries.
I want to see, see his little bear head. All right, let's talk about Policy Genius. Why should you get life insurance? Well, we pay hundreds of dollars a year to protect our homes, our cars, even our phones. But too many of us aren't taking steps to protect our families' finances. Mortgage payments, private student loans, other types of debt don't just disappear if something happens to you. A life insurance policy can provide your loved ones with a financial cushion they can use to cover those costs, and it can provide you with the peace of mind that even in the worst case scenario, they will be protected. Policy Genius is not an insurance company. They are an insurance marketplace that makes it easy to compare quotes from top companies like AIG and Prudential in one place to find your lowest price on life insurance. You already have life insurance through your work? Well, having life insurance through your job may not be enough. Most people need up to 10 times more coverage to properly provide for their families. Why get covered now? Life insurance typically gets more expensive as you age, so it's smart to get a policy sooner rather than later. If you're worried about the price, by making it easy to compare your options from top companies, Policy Genius can help you make sure you're not paying a cent more than you have to for the coverage you need. Policy Genius, one word, Policy Genius could save you 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. Options start at just $17 a month for $500,000 worth of coverage. Policy Genius does not add extra fees. Your personal info is private. Policy Genius does not sell your details to third parties. Head to policygenius.com. That's PolicyGenius, policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quote and see how much you can save. All right, fresh from San Diego, California, comes the only sunglasses brand I'm ever going to wear again. I'm talking about Blenders Eyewear. You're going to be just as hooked as I am when you see how awesome these shades are. Like I've said before repeatedly, I got the Swagger Cat and have since lost them. So, Blenders, feel free to send some more my way. Chase Fisher, that's the guy who should send them to me. He started Blenders by selling his beachy shades out of a backpack while doubling as a surf instructor on Pacific Beach. His goal? To create an adventurous, mid-priced eyewear option with the same cool factor as other leading styles. Unlike expensive big brand shades that you're probably going to lose or smash, Blenders are actually affordable, so you're not going to cry as much when the inevitable happens. Blender's team of in-house designers are constantly coming out with new styles, from orange polarized wraparounds, tortoise shell frames with purple lenses, that's cool, to classic gold arms on black lenses. And it's not just sunglasses. Blender's has prescription glasses, readers, blue lights, everything you need, even snow goggles. How about that? Live life in forward motion with Blender's today. Here's what you do. To score 15% off your Blender's purchase, visit blenderseyewear.com, enter promo code BOOGIEVIP. That's blenderseyewear.com, code BOOGIEVIP for 15% off. Blender's, rocked with pride worldwide. All right, here's a question. Is there anything that matters more than the safety of you and your loved ones? Of course not. So isn't it strange that many home security companies don't act that way? This is why I use and trust Simply Safe Home Security. Their advanced security technology helps me sleep at night, and they always put me and my family's safety first. Here's why I love it. It's affordable. Plans started about $1 a day. It's easy to set up. I just downloaded their app about 15 minutes later. Boom, boom, boom. We're hooked up and running. 24/7 professional monitoring. Simply Safe's agents call you the moment a threat is detected, and they dispatch police or first responders in an emergency, even if you're not home or can't be reached. Simply Safe's monitoring agents truly care about your well-being and are highly trained to help keep you calm and safe during stressful situations, staying on the line with you until help arrives. Simply Safe's customer-first policies make sure you're taken care of. Like I said, less than $1 a day, no long-term contract or hidden fees, because feeling safe at home should not break the bank. Customize the perfect system for your home in just a few minutes at simplysafe.com/boogie. Go today and claim a free indoor security camera plus 20% off interactive monitoring. Go to simplysafe.com/boogie.
There was, you know, my imagination was done for the day.
Yeah.
I was taxed. I could not. Like, I was trying to. I had too many questions still, even for Paddington Bear. But then the next night, this is, I wanted to talk about this specifically. Mm-hmm. It's somewhat of a boogie monster topic.
Yeah.
But we decided to watch Twilight. It was me and four ladies.
Okay.
So I was like, you know what? I like that. I like all the stuff that Robert Pattinson does now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he makes weird choices and makes, like, does whatever he wants with movies. And I'm like, that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah.
So I'm like, let's see what started it all. And so we're all talking about Twilight. Dave, you should watch Twilight.
I saw it when it first came out. When was that? That 05 or 2010? When was that?
I think mid-aughts.
Yeah, feels like mid-aughts. Man. But yeah, the lady I was with at the time was big into that whole series and or franchise or whatever. And yeah, I saw them all the week they all came out.
Oh, really? You saw all of them?
Oh, it was appointment viewing. Yeah. It's like, ah, the new Twilight. All right, let's see that.
I had some belly laughs.
Yeah.
That first one, which I guess they do now watch it like Rocky Horror Picture Show. Like, it's okay. So bad that people get together.
Uh-huh.
We were hooting and hollering for that Twilight movie. The acting is just, something. The fact that anybody got a second chance in Hollywood after that movie was impressive. At one point, they play baseball.
I remember that.
Because vampires love baseball.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I fell asleep at the end, so I missed where there was wolves, that the wolfmen had to fight the vamp. I missed the whole end.
Ah, damn it.
But holy shit, that was a wild ride of a shit movie, man. It was a good time. Like, if you go in knowing you're going to have a fun time and laugh at it, it's worth it. I would recommend that to the listeners.
All right. Maybe I'll give that another shot. Watch it from a different perspective.
And meanwhile, I'm just out of duty trying to finish watching Sopranos. And I want to know how Tony Soprano, head of a mafia family, can just regulate murder and beating the shit out of everybody, doesn't smack the fuck out of his own son every moment that kid opens his mouth.
I was always hoping he'd whack both kids. They both annoyed the shit out of me.
That's like how like he doesn't hit his own son, but mm-hmm. is also a hothead mafia guy.
Mm-hmm.
Makes no sense. Like, yeah. Oh, like the writers, but that would make him a bad person. He is a bad person.
Yeah. Yeah. AJ always kind of sucked.
I mean, clearly they make him that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's the writers. I'm not saying the guy, but what, like, it makes no sense that's. It's the whole show's fallen apart in the last season for me.
What season are you in? You know, the final season?
Yeah. And it's all like everything's just silly.
Yeah. 6A is not their best work. The first
whatever.
Half.
Then Wacko Uncle just shoots him because he's crazy. Like, what an easy. What a simple, easy choice to make.
Wait, whose uncle shot who?
The old guy, Junior.
Oh, Junior shot Tony.
Shoots Tony Soprano, gotcha. Like, just because he's crazy.
Yeah.
I thought this whole end Malanga. Of this whole show is weak as fuck. Yeah.
Oh, come on now. You watch your fucking
fuck,
mouth.
It's bad,
watch,
it's bad writing.
You watch your fucking mouth, dude.
The poorly written show that they did not figure out how to end.
You're out of your fucking mind, dude. You son of a bitch.
We could just have an old guy. He's crazy, so he could just fill any plot hole we've written ourselves into a corner with.
But that's the story there was, is he crazy? Was he faking it, or was he doing it on purpose? You know?
I don't care. I put it on and I just do other stuff. It's like the radio now. Like, I put it on yesterday. I probably watched, quote unquote, watched four episodes. I was just booking all my travel for the next few months. I'm like, I don't care what's going on this show.
Man.
It's like a soap opera now.
I used to hate his mom's character, Livia.
Yeah.
Now, when I watch it, she is so fucking funny. Like, just that character and the lines that they give her, she's so funny. She's just so negative and blah.
They're all bad people.
When the Jamaican housekeeper quit, she got mad and ran off. And as she's leaving, Tony's coming in and Tony's like, you know, what's up? And then Tony goes in. He's like, Mom, what happened? She goes, these blacks. These blacks.
Yeah, she's old racist. Anyway, well, that was my pop culture consumption.
While you're here taking care of my mother, no ganja. Okay. What's your... come on now. We got to talk a little Sopranos. What's your favorite character? What's your least favorite character?
I just keep thinking that what's-his-name is still moonlighting with Bruce Springsteen.
Silvio. Oh,
so I can't not see him in the Glory Days video where he gives Bruce Springsteen the strongest fuck eyes I've ever seen a human face make. There's a moment that he goes like back to back with Bruce and looks over his shoulder and he may as well just start sucking his dick right there. It is the hardest fuck eyes look I've ever seen on a human being.
Oh my God.
Outside of Twilight, probably. Oh, Twilight had some just long scenes of just people looking at each other. But yeah, so I don't know. I don't know who else I like. I don't know.
Yeah, I like Silvio. He's good. Adriana, I love her. When Christopher, I guess it's the last season, when he's doing the thing where he's going down North Carolina getting cigarettes and he's loading up the van. He's got his flunkies there about to drive the van off. And then Adriana runs out to give Chris something. And it's like, all right, goodbye. And as soon as she walks away, he just goes, she's got diarrhea.
She's got diarrhea. I can't not see, I've always picture people in the other worlds that they operate in, like other movies or something.
Mm-hmm.
So the one kid who's like a little badass, but was just Doogie Howser's best friend.
I never watched a lot of Doogie Howser. Who's
He was Doogie Howser's best friend.
Who is he in Sopranos? Which character?
He's like one of the younger guys that's like dating the hostess at the restaurant.
Oh, okay. Benny? Probably Benny? A little short, yeah. Shorter
guy?
Was,
I think he was Vinny in the other show, too.
Okay, okay.
So, right, he was so in my head, he, like, Doogie Howser went on to be a doctor, mm-hmm. and so now he kind of felt left behind, got in a life of crime.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do love that about The Sopranos as far as when the worlds collide. For example, when they talk about Goodfellas, there's a scene where Dr. Melfi is at home having dinner with her family, and somebody brings up Goodfellas, and I just wish somebody at the table would be like, "Mom, you kind of look like Karen," because it's the same actress. Mm-hmm. And then
that's true, yeah.
They're always talking about The Godfather. They're always talking about Godfather and Godfather 2, and Uncle June was in The Godfather. I think it was one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he had a small role. I forgot the Dominic Chivasi,
Jesus
whoever.
Christ.
But he was in Godfellow. Godfellow. Godfather.
Godfellas.
I did the
Goodfathers.
I don't have it. I don't still have the notes, but about a year ago, I sat down and I came up with all the actors that were in both Goodfellas and Sopranos, and I think it's like 9 or 10. It's a lot of crossover.
You're really putting the effort towards the really doing the Lord's work out there.
I just love seeing, it's like, oh, that's the guy from that movie, and that's the guy from that movie. But then for whatever reason, I mean, not whatever reason, they're both mob-based projects. But, yeah, it's like 9 or 10 different actors that are in both.
Jesus Christ. All the Italian kids I grew up when Goodfellas came out, may as well have been the new fucking Testament for them. so many 7th grade kids like, mm-hmm. Joey, Espet, Joey. Like, shut the fuck up. We all learned the same amount of Italian watching one movie. But now all of a sudden, it's your whole...
How you doing,
Although Andrew? I did like the festivals and everything. Like, what were they doing? San Gennaro. We'd do mm-hmm. like St. Joseph's Fest and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's wearing on me. I'm finishing like it's a homework assignment at this point.
Oh, man. Well, hang in there, buddy. Hang in there. Hey, you want to talk about some weird boogie shit?
Let's get to some subject.
Let's get in. I'm going to Cincinnati this week.
Scary. Oh, that's what, I didn't know if I was so hungover today, like it kicked my mushroom trip back in, because we went to Din Tai Fung. It was at a mall here, and I was walking around the mall, and everybody just looked off.
Really?
Like everybody just looked like,
maybe they were all aliens.
So I was having a real They Live kind of moment.
Yes. I just watched that last week.
Great movie.
Love They Live.
Yeah.
Give me some of those glasses. Fucking Rowdy Roddy Piper. Such a badass.
Oh, yeah.
I always love that guy.
Him and it was Keith David that he had to fight. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keith David, been a fan of his since A Minute Work.
Yeah. Yeah, Minute Work, Something About Mary.
Something About Mary.
So funny.
Platoon.
That. Yeah, Platoon. That
dude's all over the place. Son of a Bitch in Requiem for a Dream.
Right.
Well, anyway, so I cut you off. You're going to Cincinnati, the scariest.
Going to Cincinnati, and about 6 miles northwest of the club that I'll be playing is a place called Loveland, Ohio.
Okay.
And they are known for the Loveland, I don't know if it's Loveland or Loveland, but the Loveland Frogman. You ever heard of the Loveland Frogman?
No, very, but I'm guessing you're going to tell me.
Very exciting. I was unfamiliar with this cryptid until recently, but the Loveland Frogman is about a 3-foot bipedal walking on two legs frog. And there's been four sightings. The first one in 1955. There were two back in 1972. And then another one as recently as 2016. This fucking Loveland Frogman. Amphibious anomalies have shocked and terrified businessmen, even police officers.
Does he by chance sing Hello My Baby, Hello My Darling?
No.
Hello, my ragtime gal.
No, this was, can't
no
play.
No top hat.
No top hat. No banjos.
Oh, you know why? Because this is Ohio, and that's Michigan J.
Yeah,
Fog.
Yeah, that's okay. Michigan J. That was the WWWB.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Get this shit. Back in 1955, on a lonely stretch of road along the Miami River in Claremont County, Ohio, just on the outskirts of Loveland, 3:30 in the morning, this dude, this local businessman, Robert Honeycutt, he claimed to have witnessed three bipedal quasi-reptilian entities hanging out on the side of the road. Guy pulled his car over. Okay. Pulled his car over, looked at these fuckers for 3 minutes, he says. He observed these three different frog people for 3 minutes. He said they stood between 3 and 4 feet tall. They were covered in gray, leathery skin. They had webbed hands and feet. And he said their most distinguishing characteristic was their frog-like head, which the man claimed bore deep wrinkles where their hair would have been. Okay. He said, just as he was about to call it a day and drive off, this happens a lot in eyewitness stories. The way this report was written was just when he was ready to drive away. Why would you drive away? I mean, unless you're scared, but I would just hang out and watch these things as long as I could. Anyway, he started to drive away, and one of these frog people, he took out what he could only describe as a wand. And one of these frog dudes held the wand over his head, over his own head, with two hands, holding it up over his head. And he said some sort of sparks started emitting from this device. So they don't know. I don't know what the fuck that has to do with anything, but that's an interesting characteristic.
But they don't hop. They walk.
Yeah, yeah. These guys were just walking on two legs. So that was, what did I say that was? That was back in 1955. In 72, within just a couple of months of each other, two different police officers had eyewitness accounts, one of whom even shot at both of these eyewitnesses from the two cop stories. Each one of those cases, it was just one, not a trio, but just one. But one of these cops actually shot one of these things, and it scurried down into the river.
Okay.
And then in 2016, this guy was out playing Pokemon Go. You remember that phenomenon?
Mm-hmm.
And he actually took a picture. I should have sent this to you. But
I see. I've been looking it up. I see a little thing with glowing eyes.
Yeah, here. The glowing eyes kind of on the right of the screen there. Yeah, this is the guy in 2016. He took that picture while he's playing Pokemon Go. So I don't know. It's not a great picture, but it's something. But frog dudes. Now, so, could they be actual reptilians? Humanoid reptile hybrids?
I mean,
that supposedly control the universe?
Yeah, or, I don't think they're controlling anything, but I mean, you got is it safe to say that Ohio is trying its darndest to catch up to Florida?
How so?
Texas, with as many just ass backwards loonies. like the dude the other day that went to
the FBI.
Raid the FBI.
Yeah, go get him, buddy. Why? Why is he so mad?
You guys are doing some real winter weather Florida shit.
Oh my God!
But I'll put it more to like a polluted river, weird sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
I mean, how tall are they? You said
3 to 4 feet tall.
Okay, that's they walk on their back legs, huh?
50 to 75 pounds, and they walk on their back legs bipedal.
Okay. Okay.
This one of these cop tales here. When did this happen? 1 a.m. March 13th, 1972. About 17 years after that first report, police officer who wanted to remain anonymous was traveling along Riverside Road, heading towards Loveland, when he saw something that would forever change his life. The officer claimed that he was driving slowly due to the substantial amount of ice on the road when he saw what looked like a dog by the curb. Suddenly, the animal darted in front of the cruiser, forcing the officer to slam on his brakes to avoid collision. Once the officer came to a halt, the headlights fell upon the prone animal. At this point, the officer described something that seems literally too bizarre to be true. In the span of seconds, this crouched frog-like creature stood on two legs, stared back at the police officer, then scrambled over the guardrail and scurried down the embankment, finally disappearing into the Ohio River. So again, not that, obviously, not that cops are without flaws and without the ability to lie and bullshit, but when I hear accounts like this from cops or old people or just people that may not have an incentive to just make up complete bullshit, like it's, I always listen a little closer. We got two different cops who claim to have seen this fucking thing.
Is that, I mean, now, okay, so when you were a cop, what was the taboo aspect of, like, what would you talk about, what wouldn't you talk about?
Talk about with who?
If you, with other cops. Like, if you saw a frogman.
Oh, if I saw a frogman, yeah, I'd tell everybody about it. I mean, I don't care, you know. I know if you have tales like that, most people, I mean, we've got buddies that have got crazy tales, and I still don't know if I believe them, but, you know, I know.
Yeah, but like comedians, who gives a shit? Mm-hmm. If you want to talk out your ass. I mean, how many of comedians are just straight bullshitters, sociopaths? What kind of liar is it where they just lie because they can lie?
Pathological.
Pathological liars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You ever know one of them?
Yeah, I think I know one currently.
Really?
Won't name any names, but yeah, I've not a super close friend, but an acquaintance that multiple people have like, yeah, this, he's a pathological liar. Like, he lies when it doesn't even benefit him. He just likes to lie.
No, that was, I knew a guy like that too, and it was just, he would just, we just have stories, and you kind of just let it happen.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, I'm not basing any of my choices on your information.
Yeah, yeah. But also, it's like, what the fuck's wrong with you, dude? Like,
I want, it's, what are you doing? It's like a controlling, like if it's like a sociopathic, kind of like a knowing, like, oh, I have control because these people don't know that I've made something up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's like a power type thing.
Yeah.
Like, why would anybody do a hoax? Why would anybody mm-hmm. create a hoax
yeah.
for Bigfoot or something like this outside of, oh, look, I've created a scenario for people. Like, or is it like just two bored cops going like, oh, let's tell people we saw the frogman.
Yeah. I mean, of course,
now, this isn't me discrediting the idea of it, but mm-hmm. I'm just more like, what's the psychology behind
yeah.
wanting to do that kind of stuff?
You know, there's a certain confidence that comes with being properly groomed. There's an aura, a vibe. You can just tell by the way someone carries themselves. We call this BGE, big groomed energy, not big dick energy. You see what they did there? BGE, big groom energy. There's only one way to get that BGE, and that is with Manscaped. We'd like to introduce you to their best and biggest ultimate hygiene bundle yet, the Platinum Package 4.0, Manscaped. It's the leader in below-the-waist grooming. Now trust them with the rest. Join the 4 million men worldwide who've trusted Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code BOOGIE. The Manscaped Platinum Package 4.0 is the one-stop shop for the man who deserves it all. They designed this package to allow you to fully align your entire hygiene routine with elite products. Inside this Platinum Package, you're going to find the Lawnmower 4.0 Trimmer, Weed Whacker Ear and Nose Hair Trimmer, Ultra Premium Body Wash, Ultra Premium 2-in-1 Shampoo and Conditioner, Ultra Premium Deodorant, Crop Preserver Anti-Chafing Ball Deodorant, Crop Reviver Ball Spray Toner, there you go, Anti-Chafing Boxers, that's important, and the Shed Travel Bag to hold all your goods while you're traveling. The Platinum Package 4.0 covers all bases from trimming to showering to leaving the gym smelling nice. This is the best bang for your buck. To get 20% off and free shipping with the code BOOGIE at manscaped.com, that's 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. Use that promo code BOOGIE. Unlock your big groomed energy with Manscaped. And remember, You trim the hedges, the tree stands taller. Another dick joke. Manscaped.com, promo code Boogie. Full disclosure, my diet has been absolute chaos for the last few months. What with the Hawaiian vacation, then my birthday celebration, then Katie's birthday trip, all the buffets, all the poke, all the barbecue. It's out of control. Thankfully, I have Athletic Greens to kind of keep me in check. Athletic Greens, AG1, you know, the stuff I've been talking about for months. Trying to right my wrongs with Athletic Greens, just one scoop in 8 to 12 ounces of water every day. I shake it up, I suck it down. At the very least, with all the other chaos that's going on my plate, at least I've got some Athletic Greens, all that good stuff. What is that? Well, 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, aging, all that stuff. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, gluten-free. Contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything. Still tastes good. Nice, light, tropical flavor. None of that chalky green smoothie nonsense. Supports better sleep quality and recovery. Supports mental clarity and alertness. I absolutely love this stuff. Plus, it's affordable. It costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with the convenient daily nutrition you need. One scoop and a cup of water every day, that's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/boogie. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/boogie to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/boogie. Well, and also I was thinking about this case. A lot of times when people see cryptids or whatever, one of the first places people jump to is misidentification. Oh, you didn't see a Bigfoot, you saw a bear. And then you see a bear standing on two legs, mm-hmm. and you're like, okay, that's possible, you know, through the trees. I don't know what else would look like a 4-foot bipedal frog. What are they confusing that with? I mean, Komodo dragon, maybe? But that would be just as bizarre to see in Ohio. But yeah,
You know what? Maybe like a beaver or something. Getting up on its hind legs. Can we go with that, maybe?
I mean, maybe, but a beaver has
distinct fur. You see them, they're all greasy and wet, you know?
Yeah, that's true, and they're all wet, slimy looking.
Oh, we got Nutria up here by the one duck pond.
How big you see those bastards?
Those, I mean, they look like about 2 feet, 2.5 feet long.
Damn.
Greasy, they got orange teeth.
Really?
Yeah, it's not like they're dirty. They just all have like what other thing is it that has orange teeth? I think beavers have orange teeth.
Really? I never knew that.
Yeah, it's something about their makeup. They have bright orange teeth. Looks like they're wearing like a hockey guard or something.
And those Nutria look just like rats, right?
Yeah, they just look like big rats sitting on the grass.
Ugh.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, I could see something, you know, at night, weird creatures moving around a riverbank. It says that there's no known folklore, like Indian, Native American folklore about it.
Mm-hmm.
Which usually you get something like this, it goes back a ways, you know.
Yeah.
If you want to cross-reference it with the indigenous people from long ago, see if they got anything to talk about.
Or is it possible that, like many of these cryptids, that it's could be an extinct creature or a creature that we thought was extinct. I don't know. Prehistorically, I'm sure there was some sort of reptile or dinosaur that might have looked like a 4-foot bipedal frog. I'm not sure.
Yeah, maybe they just got big frogs over there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they got big, weird frogs. Maybe people in Ohio have poor depth perception. I don't know.
You ever seen a big old bullfrog out in the wild?
I mean, I've seen, I don't know. For some reason, I feel like I haven't seen enough frogs. You know, you hear frogs all the time. Uh-huh. You see them on TV. You'd think they'd be out more.
I love a good frog. Cool creatures.
Yeah, I like them.
Where I grew up in Waleska, Georgia, in the summer, man, you'd go outside. If you weren't watching where you were stepping at night, you'd just step on all. I've seen 50 frogs on my driveway at one time.
Really?
Yeah, it's like fucking magnolia.
Why are they hiding from me then?
I don't know.
I ran over a snake the other day on my bike.
Yeah?
Yeah, a lot of garter snakes out here. Mm-hmm. They're just all hanging around, and then I was just cruising and ran over one, and then I saw another one, and I was like, tell your buddy I'm sorry. But they're just little. There's no rattlers up here. Mm-hmm. L.A. was wild because you come around a turn hauling ass, just be a big old rattlesnake out in the trail.
Oh, man, speaking of which, I was on a hike the other day, and I found a whole stack of old photographs. Not old, but like from the 80s. It's like 10 of them. And about half of them had the same dude in them. And, but yeah, just like old photo, like 30, 40 year old photographs. Just laying on the side of the trail. So
where were you hiking at?
Griffith Park. And, so I took them. I have them with me, and I keep waiting for there to be a news story about, I don't know, I just feel like this could be evidence.
That's a creepy thing.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah, I'll send you a picture of them. But yeah, it's like a guy, I think it's the same guy. Like one looks like he's graduating from high school or something. There's another one where he's standing in front of the Washington Monument. And there's just one of like Christmas morning and some presents, but you could tell these are all like from the 80s.
Yeah, this is far more strange.
Mm-hmm.
That's there's nobody else, just one guy on travels.
Yeah, it looks like the same guy, like different ages. What? Like maybe this guy when he was like 18, another one when he's in his 20s.
What if they fell out of somebody's bag or something?
Yeah, well, man, it's that's why I love Griffith Park so much, because it's one of the only places in L.A. that you feel like you can really get some elbow room and get away from people, and it's just crazy. Like, even though it's such a populated city, there's some of those trails up in Griffith Park that are incredibly isolated, and it's a matter of time till I stumble upon something more severe. They found a head a few years ago, just a head.
Well, I mean, and that's that, like, intrusive thought thing, but I think everybody has the, like, oh, there's probably bodies over there. There's mm-hmm. probably bodies over there. Like, where, like, oh, yeah, that's the little hidden spot. That's where you mm-hmm. can dispose of things.
Yeah.
There was always, oh, man, I remember I used to go bike riding up in, there's the Latuna Canyon, basically the hills above Burbank there, you know, where like the Cascade restaurant and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So on the other side of that is where I'd start riding. But they had a big wall built along the side, I think, to prevent rock slides from blocking the road. But you could have tossed anything over this wall and nobody would find it.
Yeah.
And I remember I would go riding there and you could smell something was dead. Something was dead on the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I never went looking, but there was all kinds of creepy stuff. I told you about the one time I found like a bag of bones over by the golf course. Same hill, I won't call them mountains, but they're hills there.
No, I don't remember this story at all.
This is years and years ago. I was driving down. I think I'd gone up there to hike or bike ride or something. And it was over by the golf course. That's over there. I think it's DeBell Golf Course. And I drove by. It was like a garbage bag on the side of the road, but it just looked, it was kind of torn open. And I was like, I saw it looked like bones. And I was like, that's weird. And so I turned around to go look at it. And there's people that were in the golf course. The golf course had a fence around it. But they were, like, in there kind of looking at it, too. Like, we were looking at that bag, too. And I looked, and I saw a rib cage. I don't know of what. But then saw some feathers. But then also, like, a hoof. So it was different animals.
Hoof.
Like parts of different animals in one bag. And I don't know what, it didn't seem like it was a butcher type thing. And I wound up, I think I called the non-emergency line. I'm like, well, there's a bag of weird parts up here. But, yeah, there's a,
that's bizarre.
I mean, you know, and we're talking about the other day about the, all the many different, like, serial killers and creepos are in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're everywhere, but, you know, L.A. attracts people.
Yeah.
Like, any major city attracts people, but then L.A. especially gets a lot of the nutters. So, I don't know, man. Some goofy stuff going on up there.
Yeah.
Goofy stuff. Wild stuff, buddy.
Weird, wild stuff. Where are you going to be? Got any dates?
Where am I going to be? I'm around here for a little bit.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to Ohio after I just shit-talked Ohio. Columbus, Ohio. Same city where that dude, drove himself into the FBI. And they got him. Yeah, I'll be there in 2 weeks. 26th and 27th.
Hell yeah, buddy.
Where are you gonna be in is it Go Bananas? Are you going bananas?
I'm gonna go bananas this weekend.
Fun club.
Fun club. I'll be there with Ryan Singer. We'll be there I guess for five or six. Thursday through Sunday. We'll be at Go Bananas. Let's see, this Tuesday, the day this comes out. Catch us in Fayetteville, West Virginia. That'll be fun. That's tonight, the 16th. And let's see what else we got. I can't read my calendar. I apologize. Philadelphia, the 23rd of August. We'll be at Helium and Buffalo Helium on the 24th of August. So, yeah, come see me and Ryan Singer. I'll be...
I like it, man.
I'll be just a few miles from Loveland. I'm going to go... I'm going to see if Ryan wants to join me. We're going to go find this fucking frog guy.
What you going to do? Take some big worms out there?
Yeah, probably. Go frog gigging.
Kick around.
Never been frog gigging?
Frog gigging?
Frog gigging.
What's that?
It's not good. I've done it a couple times when I was a teenager. It's frog hunting with spears.
Okay.
And you just sharpen a stick and you see a frog and you spear it. And you're gigging a frog. Got a frog. Frog gigging.
I dropped a brick on one once.
That's no good.
No, I felt bad. I was a little kid. Where it was like caught in a window well at my house. So me and my sister were like just dropping things down there, and I got it. Oh. And then I felt bad.
I did that too when I was a kid. I played a little fish baseball.
Yeah.
My buddy caught a fish, kept it on the line, and teed it up for me. Yeah.
I was going to say, that's more a fish tether ball.
I guess that's fish tether ball.
you weren't even in it for the sport.
No. Fortunately, glad
all
I didn't.
Kids do terrible things, man.
Glad I didn't turn out a serial killer. I mean, I think every kid starts off with a little bit of that, and then you hopefully quickly realize, like, oh, this isn't fun to be mean to animals.
I think there's a curiosity about death and like, you know, all that kind of stuff that, yeah, it happens when you're a little kid. It's when you keep doing it well into your teens that's when it's like, okay,
keep an eye on
time
this
to sit down with the school psychologist.
Oh boy.
Well, I wish I was higher energy, but I put the hurt on myself last night.
It's all right, buddy. What were you drinking, by the way?
Oh, all of it.
All of it.
No, I had some ciders. It wasn't even that bad. I just woke up too early. I was having ciders at the improv show.
Yeah.
And then I had a couple they poured me some tall whiskeys over at the club, at the comedy club.
There you go.
So yeah, got a piece of it. So I'm going to try and wash it out today.
There you go, buddy. Well, you'll rebound. Yeah, man.
We'll be all right. We'll get there.
All right, man. Good catching up.
Yeah, man. You have you're leaving tomorrow for the road.
Yeah, heading out tomorrow. So it's going to be fun.
All right, man. Hey, man, keep the shiny side up, greasy side down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Keep it between the ditches.
Yeah. Everybody go see Dave and Ryan.
Yeah, go see me and Ryan. It's going to be fun.
Go see him, you sons of bitches.
Speaking of a couple of bipedal frogs.
Just a couple of ribbiting jackasses.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
You betcha.
The Boogie Monster.
Podcast Network.